Let us pray. Let us all pray silently to God. And let us praise God, Lord of heaven and earth. Let us confess our sin and our sins. Let us give thanks to God for his love. For his forgiveness. For his peace. For hope born of the risen Christ. Let us give thanks to God for the good gifts of everyday life. For families that love and sustain us. For friends who understand us. For churches that trust us. For the call of God that does not forsake us. Let us pray for others, for all men over all the earth. For all who hate us, for all who love us, for all who misunderstand us, for all who believe in us. We bring our prayers to thee, O Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I have been asked to request all of you who are volunteers for extension work to meet here at the front of the chapel at the conclusion of this service. This includes those who are working at Murdoch Center, the rest homes, at the Youngsville Church, and at the Senior Citizens Club. Every man of faith has two altars in his life. The altar in the church and the altar in the heart. The altar in the church is suggested for us in the word of the sixth chapter of Leviticus in the words, Fire shall be kept burning upon the altar continually. It shall not go out. And the altar of the heart is suggested by the words found in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Stir into flame the gift that is within you. There is the fire in the midst of the people of God, and there is the fire in the recesses of the heart. All of it is the fire of God, and the care of the fire on the altar is the care of the man of God. It is no accident that God has placed an altar among his people, and it's no mistake to speak of a smoldering fire in the heart that must be swept into flame. The altar reminds us of God's claim upon his people, and the fire reminds us of God's power within our hearts. From the most ancient times, among various people, fire has been a distinguished element in their mythology, an expressive symbol in poetry, and an important agent in systems of cosmology. In the tales of ancient Greece, Prometheus lighted a torch at the chariot of the sun and gave the gift of fire to men. In the civic devotions of Rome, the Vestal Virgins tended the fire on the sacred altar so that it never went out. Among the ancient Jews, there was the tradition that God himself had kindled the flame upon his altar when the temple was built. He was the God who, in the distant days of pilgrimage, had looked down upon the pilgrim's journey by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. God had lighted the fire on the altar, and he had left his word to men, the fire shall be kept burning upon the altar. It shall not go out. The flame would glow from the service of men who loved him. There is a fire that burns in the church, and men of faith keep it kindled. It shall not go out. Fire on the altar of the church is ours to kindle. Fire on the altar of the heart is ours to fan into flame. The fire on the altar of the ancient temple of Israel was a reminder that God was Lord of his people. A community of faith was the recipient of God's fiery reminder that he was the Lord. The fire on the altar was set in the midst of the people of God. Not solitary men of faith, but a community of faith are the recipients of the gift of the fire. Now to my peace, I understand that none may reach the heaven's height unless he go there hand in hand with one who likewise covets light. Sacrifices of bulls and goats on man-made altars no longer mark our faith, but the perpetual fire on the altar remains a beautiful symbol of the abiding presence of God among his people. More than 20 years ago, I went with a group of junior boys to a synagogue in New Haven, Connecticut. The youngsters saw the tiny light that burned and asked what it was. "It's the eternal light," the rabbi replied. "It never goes out." "But," said one little boy, "what happens to it when all the lights go out?" There is no light that shines upon our chapel day and night but the light of God's presence. And there is no perpetual light here except the light of kindling devotion born from a sense of the presence of God. Our devotion is placed upon his altar, and his presence fans it into flame. Thou our best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence our light. Gathering here, we tend the fire upon the altar. We remember the God who tabernacles among his people, the God who refines and purifies and inspires. The fire on the altar reminds us also of God's ceaseless care. He cares enough to remind us of his care. So we gather as men did in yesteryear at the altar of God. And the sacrifices we offer are the best gifts we have to offer. Lives that love and hate, that believe and doubt, that keep faith and betray, that hope and despair. But God cares enough for such folk to ask us to come to his altar. Joy of the desolate, light of the straying, hope of the penitent, faithless, and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. The fire on the altar teaches us yet something else. It is a reminder of our ceaseless praise. God lights the fire, but man puts the wood on the altar. God could easily tend the fire on the altar of the church, but it's not his way with men. He wants us to tend the fire. He wants us to come to him, to remember him, to show our awareness of him, to bless him. He has come to us to teach us to come to him. Long ago, Augustine said, without God we cannot, and without us God will not. He wants our loyalty and our praise. And the house of God is a reminder that his will is that we praise him and thank him. One day years ago in New England, when the Puritans had gathered for worship, the earth became suddenly and terribly dark. And fear came upon many of the worshipers, so sudden and complete was the darkness. And some of them insisted that the day of the Lord could come. But one elder rose in the church and cried, let the candles be lighted. There was a man who knew that life is but a vestibule to the temple of God's presence and preparation for the service of the unending praise of God in the life to come begins in the life that has already come. The fire on the altar reminds us also of God's call to devotion. God cares when we care and when we don't care. And we care because God cares. We say of someone that he is a devoted father, perhaps, or that he is a devoted son. And this is a great word to say of someone we know. The fire on the altar of God must be kindled by the devotion of men. We must tend the fire. Is it any wonder at times that it seems cold and dark and dreary, that the wind blows and is never weary? Have we tended the fire on the altar? In Eugene O'Neill's drama, Long Day's Journey into Night, One character says of the woman whose life is steadily deteriorating, she hasn't denied her faith, she's forgotten it. Until now, there is no strength of spirit in her. She hasn't denied her faith. She has forgotten it. Have we brought the sacrifices of loving, if wayward hearts to him to brighten our lives and the lives of others? Fire should be kept burning on the altar continually. It shall not go out. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. We come here today, men and women whom God has called to attend his altar. How well we know the vanity of form and word at times. And it seems to us at times that the fire has gone out in church. It has not burned up. It has burned out. And the coals seem ashen gray. And to blow on the coals on the altar scatters the ashes to the winds. And yet in the recesses of the soul, we have been apprehended by the reality that teaches us, as Stuart Kennedy once said, that communion with God is not luxury, but a necessity for the soul. We must have God. There is a word for us in 2 Timothy. Stir into flame the gift that is in you. There is an altar in the heart. And the fire has been placed upon it. For the Lord who put fire upon the altar of his temple. Stir into flame the gift that is in you. Perhaps in tending the fire at the altar in church, the fire in the heart will kindle into flame. We are those who, Paul writes to Timothy, who know that their call is from God, whose mandate is divine, and whose power is the gospel. George Whitefield once wrote, O Lord, I am weary in thy work, but I'm not weary of it. Stir into flame the gift that is in you. Let us gather in this place day by day, tapers and torches lighted by God's power on the altars of our hearts. And the fire on the altar in God's house will never go out. O thou who camest from above the pure celestial fire to impart, kindle a flame of sacred love on the mean altar of my heart. There let it for thy glory burn with inextinguishable blaze, and trembling to its source return in humble prayer and fervent praise. Let us pray. God of our fathers, who brightens us with thy light, make warm our devotion to thee, that we may be worthy of our name. We pray through Christ our Lord.